The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, merciful Judge, you are the inexhaustible fountain of forgiveness. Replace our hearts of stone with hearts of love and adore you. And we may delight in your doing your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the 50th chapter of Genesis. After Jacob's death, the brothers of Joseph begged for forgiveness for the crime they had done against him. "You intended to do me harm," Joseph said, "but God used this as an opportunity to do good and save many lives." Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brother said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, 'I begged you forgiveness the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harm you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servant of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. I am in the place of God. Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide you and your little ones in this way." He rescued them, speaking kindly to them, word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. My sermon is based on the 50th chapter of Genesis, letting go. Who here is dealing with holding a grudge or is angry with another person? I probably should see most hands up. Well, we deal with some that we feel is mistreating or hurting us daily, whether it's at school, even family, work. I can think of lots of times when I was upset. Recently, my brother, Jace, was putting away 4-H equipment after the fair. I started rushing him because it started to rain. Jace was putting away a pitchfork, then suddenly he fell. Then I heard a scream. I ran over to see what was wrong. The pitchfork was stuck in his foot. When he was at the hospital, I didn't think he would forgive me since I was the one rushing him to get things put away. I was so worried I'd be in trouble and my brother would hold a grudge against me. Did Jace forgive me? Yes, he forgave me. It's normal to feel angry towards that person or feel sorry for yourself. We also tend to think we're right about these negative feelings and holding grudges for days, weeks, and maybe years. But is it really worth feeling that way? The answer is no. We need to always remember that Jesus wants us to forgive no matter the circumstances, just as he granted us forgiveness with no strings attached. Have you ever written your own creed? Well, Pastor had us write our own personal creeds. It seemed like a difficult task at first, but after piece by piece, it got easier. And I'm going to share it with you today. I believe in one loving God that created all of us. I believe God cares for us and guides us through life. He protects me from all evil. I believe in Jesus Christ, only Son, that he died on the cross to save our sins. One day he will come again and give eternal life to all that believe in him. He wants us to enjoy our lives and live for him. I believe all things are possible through Jesus. I believe that the Holy Spirit keeps me true in faith. All believers receive the forgiveness of sins. I believe the Holy Spirit raise me and all that truly believe in him. I believe we will have eternal life through Jesus Christ. This creed reflects on how we should be living our lives. God cares for us and guides us through this life just as the way we should be guiding others. God wants us to enjoy our lives and live for him, not spending our lives angry or hurt. The Holy Spirit keeps me true in faith. We should never lose sight of our faith in God. When we're down, we need to remember all things are possible through Jesus. And relating back to our reading today, I believe receiving forgiveness of sins, just as we need to forgive all that sin against us. We need to make that commitment to forgive and trust Jesus is leading us through this life until he comes to take us home. Dear Lord, you place us perfectly in our lives and inspire us as Christians to work together with the gift that we have been blessed with. Amen.
This Christian community has significant struggles with diversity. Here Paul helps us understand that despite different practices in worship and personal piety, we do not judge one another. All Christians belong to the Lord Jesus Christ who died for all of us and will judge each of us. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall. They will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord, and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us will be accountable to God. Word of God, word of life. Okay. My sermon is titled Judgy McJudgerton, Check Yourself at the Door. Like we heard from Paul in the second reading, we all judge other people when we have no right to judge them. That is God's job. It is not up to us to judge our brothers, sisters, friends, peers, or anyone else. At the end of the day, it is God's duty to judge the living and the dead. I am guilty of judging others, and I am sure many of you are too. I remember once when we were on a road trip back to my grandparents' house in Illinois, we passed a pretty broken-down car parked in the Walmart parking lot. It seemed as if the people were living in their car. At first I thought, why don't these people have a home to go to? Are they so lazy they can't keep a job and pay their bills? My parents gently reminded us that we shouldn't judge that family because we don't know what has happened to them in their life that has led up to where they were at, homeless. No matter what our actions are, we do so to the Lord, and that is all that matters. Chapter 14, verses 7 through 10 states, "For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister, or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat." These verses are confronting us, in a way, about our judgment of others, and telling us that we will all end up being judged by God, and that judging others is not the way to go. You never know if someone is going through something, or has gone through something in the past, made them who they are now. And if we judge them solely based on looks or small actions, then we are not listening to what the Bible says about judgment on others, and how it isn't our job to do that. I'm sure people prejudge me as shy and quiet, which I guess I am to begin with, but once I am comfortable with you, I'm not either one of those. I am more of an introvert, though, and occasionally that could come off as stuck up or snotty. I'm actually neither. I just don't love large crowds. I think we all need to think about how much we judge others without even thinking about it or without knowing them at all. When a new person walks into our church on Sunday morning wearing average street clothes, we probably prejudge them when we shouldn't be. Under the fancy clothes and fancy cars, we are all God's children, and we should be able to look past those prejudgments. A sin is a sin, whether it's saying a cuss word or committing a major crime. We as Christians need to show compassion to our neighbor and let God do the judging. So I want everyone to try not to judge others and remember who does judge them, so that we can worry more about how God will judge us. Dear God, please help us to love our neighbor and leave the judgment up to you. We pray in your name.
Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Oh, wait. When Peter asks about the limits of forgiveness, Jesus responds with a parable that suggests human forgiveness should not mirror the unlimited mercy of God. Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of this church sinned against me, how often should I forgive? As many times as seven times." Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all of his possessions, and the payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, Will you have patience with me, and will pay you everything?" And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him of debt. But that same owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, "Paying what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into a prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to the Lord all that he had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you of all that debt because you pleaded me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So, my heavenly Father, will you also do to every one of you? And if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
My sermon is called Wait, Lord, How Many Times? In the gospel I just read, Peter asked how many times he should forgive those who have sinned against the church. Jesus answered him 77 times. The moral of the story is that everyone should be forgiven, no matter the sin, and that we as Christians should offer that forgiveness. A week ago, I was playing in a middle school football game. I was getting very frustrated with a teammate who also happens to be my close friend. We had been giving each other a hard time about a playbook, and I had started to take it personally. Once I really thought about why we were arguing, I realized that my holding grudge would just hurt our team and our friendship and myself. Being upset about someone else's opinion wasn't worth it to me. Only God's opinion matters with me. After realizing that, it was pretty easy for me to forgive him and let it go. Unfortunately, in the world today, it's very hard to see forgiveness right now. Everywhere you turn, you see people fighting. Republicans versus Democrats, black versus white, gay versus straight. Of course, it's good for the news channel's ratings, but it's not good for our country. We need to take a lesson from this gospel and love our neighbor and forgive our neighbor for not being just like us. We are all God's children, and if more people forgave for the difference we created in us, we would be much better off. Similar to the slave that God forgave in the gospel, Peter learned that you should forgive everyone 77 times, as hard as that might be. I've learned that not forgiving someone just keeps me caught in those bad feelings. Not forgiving and holding on grudges just takes up room in my heart where I could be loving people more and being a good example to others. In the end, I'm super lucky that God will forgive me for all of my sins, and I am grateful for that. Dear Lord, please help us forgive others as many times as you have forgiven us. We pray in your name. Amen.
Thank you to all three. Now, as you know, I'm leaving. I'll be going 2 weeks from now will be my last Sunday here. And some people have worried about who's going to preach. Well, you've got three preachers right here. They didn't know what they were getting themselves into. Let's...